Well, earlier I spoke to journalist and publisher Neil O'Dowd, another key figure in those early contacts between the various sides. He told me about the role that Albert Reynolds played in getting the peace process going.
But ending the Troubles will be his achievement in many ways, the same way as it'll be John Hume's, same way as he brought in the British Prime Minister John Major at the time, and the same way he brought in Bill Clinton, which was a hugely significant part of that. He engaged that troika, he brought them forward, he had a vision. I had a number of meetings with him at the time, and what I always remember was the clarity of his thought. He thought there was an opportunity, he took a massive risk, and he went for it, and it paid off in a huge way. And I think Ireland and indeed the international community owes him a great debt of gratitude, because without him, if you can imagine, during the economic recession and everything else, if the Northern Troubles were still on the boil, how difficult it would have been. And it would never have ended without his intervention.
Did he trust the Republicans from the outset, or did he take some persuading?
He had a remarkable way of dealing with things. I mean, when we went in to meet him, the Irish-American delegation, he threw all his advisors out of the room, and he was incredibly straight. And he said, this is what I want, this is what I believe, this is what I think is happening, this is where I think Sinn Féin are at, this is where John Major is at. And he just had a perception of things that was quite unique for a politician, in that he cut through all the platitudes and just went straight to the message. And he was an incredibly good reader of people. I think that's what really helped him in dealing with the Republicans, that he understood that they too were looking for a way to move the situation. And he was there for them at the most critical moments. But he wasn't easy to deal with. I mean, I remember when we were sitting with him, and he gave us an explicit instruction when we were talking to Sinn Féin the following day in Belfast, to make clear that nothing but an extended permanent IRA ceasefire would work, that there was a lot of talk at the time about a 3-month ceasefire or a 6-month ceasefire. But he basically looked at us and said, I'm walking if it's not a permanent ceasefire. And, you know, he could be very tough at that level, I think.
He said something similar to John Major when a particular draft document of the Downing Street Declaration was offered to him. He said, take that out, or there's no deal. And he was prepared, or was he prepared, I suppose, is the question. Was he prepared to go all the way with this, or was he just a great bluffer in negotiations?
No, he was a fabulous negotiator. I mean, I really do think the business background was critical there, and that he wasn't encumbered with a lot of the failings of ordinary politicians in terms of wondering about constituencies or whatever. When he saw an opportunity, he took it. And I think, you know, that was his greatest ability. I remember on the day of the 31st of August being with him in the RTE studios in Dublin, actually for the News at One, I think, and it was the greatest day of his political life. He pulled off something that nobody had ever thought possible, which was an IRA ceasefire. And, you know, we look back on it now, and we probably don't pay as much respect to what he achieved as that day indicated a whole new day for Ireland, because suddenly, internationally, everywhere, President Clinton was on the phone, Senator Kennedy was on the phone. There was just a remarkable shift in how Ireland was perceived.
Journalist and publisher Neil O'Dowd on the line there from New York a little earlier on.